minds about filming at all. Idly, it came into my head that the point about knighthoods for British actors is to enable them to go to Hollywood to play butlers in glossy movies. And now I'm not sure if that apparatus is mine, as I believe it is, or picked up from someone else. Awful not to know for sure if you are plagiarizing or being wildly original. I shall give myself the benefit of the doubt.
My Name Escapes Me was written and read by Sir Alec Guinness. It was abridged by Neville Teller and produced by Martin Jenkins. And on Monday at this time, Lyrical Ballads. Samuel West reads from the works of William Wordsworth and Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Hello and good afternoon, it's Joanna Pinnock here at 3 o'clock, where for Drama Next, we bring you a medieval poem set in the Trojan War. It's Chaucer's tale of two lovers, Troilus and Criseyde. And Mel's got a busy afternoon ahead. She'll be meeting a pair of human cannonballs, walking with Claire Balding and a mob of toddlers, and bringing you the final part of this week's story, The Legend of Arthur King. That's all in today's 4 o'clock show. So now to our 60-minute drama, part one of a powerful and tragic tale of love, from the first tentative beginnings through to full-on passion and eventually tragic disillusionment. It's an adaptation of Chaucer's medieval poem Troilus and Criseyde, considered by some to be his greatest work, greater even than the Canterbury Tales. And here it's been dramatised by another poet and writer, Lavinia Greenlaw.
Troilus and Criseyde by Geoffrey Chaucer, dramatised by Lavinia Greenlaw.
He could see into the future.
What are they looking at?
Apollos.
I have a right to come here. I have a right to an audience with Prince Hector. I have done nothing wrong. Why are they whispering?
There she goes.
I am alone.
The traitor. She's the daughter of the traitor.
Calchas. A great prophet. Or so we thought.
He could see into the future.
Apollo spoke to him at the shrine.
Apollo said,
shh.
7 years we've endured this.
7 years besieged by the Greeks.
How many was it?
1,000 ships, they say. 1,000 ships.
All because Paris ravished Helen and brought her here to Troy.
We all know that story.
Apollo said that Troy would fall.
Enough. No wonder Calchas took himself softly off to the Greeks.
Who, of course, made him welcome.
Calchas sold himself.
He abandoned us.
Calchas and all his kin deserve to burn alive for such a sin. He and all his kin.
Madam, you can wait here.
Thank you. He will see me, won't he? Prince Hector. I have to ask.
We will take you to the prince shortly, madam.
Criseyde, that's her name. Criseyde. A beauty, I'd say. Angelic in her looks.
So perfect as to seem not quite human. As if the gods sent her down to earth, out of scorn for us ordinary creatures.
Can you believe it? He left her behind. His only child, his daughter.
No, mother. She can't have known a thing.
So why does she look so scared?
Wouldn't you be shaking with fear, no one to protect you?
A widow, all alone, with no real friend.
Prince Hector will receive the Lady Criseyde.
Prince, dear Prince, most gracious, I am alone, my father...
Calm yourself, good lady, I am listening.
I have done nothing wrong.
Perhaps I am easily touched, but who wouldn't pity this woman?
Why are they whispering?
She's so distressed and so unusual in her beauty.
On her knees.
Decked herself out in black.
Fair enough. Oh, she is a widow after all.
Any children?
No children. No one.
On her knees before Prince Hector, son of Priam.
Pitiful.
Let us say no more of your father's weakness. As long as you choose to stay in Troy, you'll be under my protection and treated with all due respect. As though your father had never chosen to leave. No man will treat you discourteously. I will insist on it.
My lord, I have long believed in your kindness, but for such kindness, I cannot thank you enough. Without your kindness, I would be in such...
She made quite a scene.
We thought she'd stay there thanking him all day.
Someone had to tell her to get up.
Prince Hector's a busy man. And there's a war on.
At last she got up. Still going on, bidding Hector farewell.
Off she went back home with her servants and attendants to that lovely house.
As if her father never... As if nothing had changed.
Nothing.
At all.
My dear Crusade, you keep a wonderful home.
I try to. I like most of all to be at home, to live quietly.
But don't hide away. Everyone loves you, Crusade.
She treads so carefully.
It's not her fault. Her father...
All this winter, she's not put a foot wrong. Now spring has come.
We'll be watching her.
The Greeks have really hemmed us in.
Even so, all of Troy is on its way to the temple to honour the Feast of Pallas.
It wouldn't do to abandon our customs. We shall honour our gods.
And there's our Prince Troilus, leading his band of young so-and-sos up and down as they make eyes at all the girls.
Only he seems happy to take or leave.
They say Troilus does not think much of love.
Show some interest, Troilus. The streets are full of lovely ladies.
It must be spring.
When the mind turns to wasting time. You're such fools, the lot of you, sighing over this girl and that. And it's always the same story. I'll tell you something. Whichever sweet lady keeps you awake at night will herself sleep like a...
Sleep like a what? Troilus?
Oh, someone's caught his eye.
Don't be ridiculous.
You stopped dead in your tracks for a moment there. Was it her?
Yeah. Or her with the flowers over there. Oh. I've got it. The tall, fair woman dressed in black. Yeah. Isn't she the widow, Crusade?
Crusade?
I suppose she has some it. Why is she alone?
She looks haughty to me. Simply dressed, it's true, but... standoffish, even so. Worth staring at, Troilus.
Crusade.
Oh, I don't know, she's got this way about her, arrogant, as if to say, here I am, so.
A merciful God, where did she come from? I've never seen anyone so pleasing.
What was that? I was miles away.
A woman.
Hurry up now, into the temple. Come on, boys, settle down.
What's she doing in such an ordinary crowd? A perfect woman. Perfectly made. Nothing unwomanly allowed, nothing masculine or base. Her every gesture confirms her grace. Is it only me who sees her refinement, her nobility? The way she moves. How she seems to glow. But she won't look my way. What a tease. A touch above herself, perhaps. But there's something about her so bright. My God. I've never felt so full, so light. What now? Where to look? Where to turn? Where to go?
Friends, I must leave you.
But Troilus, it's a feast day, remember? What's wrong?
Nothing. I have business to attend to.
The thing to do is to make sense of this feeling. It's as if... Now, let me see. It's as if I've been heart-struck. No, heart-pierced. Heart-swayed. And her, I must fix every detail. I've got her pictured at that first moment by the temple door. A vision to whom I could... Yes?
to whom I could devote myself. Forever.
Prince Troilus, will you be requiring...
Nothing. I want nothing except to be left in peace. You are dismissed. You are all dismissed. Leave me in peace.
Thank you, sir.
So this is love. I must learn how it's done. But secretly. Why should anyone know? There must be no sign. I must confess nothing, give no hint. Besides, nothing said means nothing set in stone. And I've seen how love that's gossiped about, despite the sweetness of its seed, yields bitter fruit. Think. There's a great deal to consider. What must be said? What held back? I need a plan. How do I entice her? Aha! A song might do the trick. A song to my love. How could she resist?
There's no such thing as love. I have these feelings. What is love anyway? What are these feelings? Love is good. Why do I feel so bad? Love is dangerous. Why do I feel so good? Why can't it be simple? Why do I have to think? The more that I drink of love, the more I want to drink.
With a sword in his hands. Lunatic.
The Greeks quake in their boots at the very mention of his name.
He's determined to crush them.
More than that, he wants to set us free.
Aye. Who cares if the city stands or falls? If I make myself known, she'll hear tell of me, the talk of the town. I'll risk more than any of my brothers for glory, so she might find me worthy.
Does Troilus ever sleep? He looks so pale, and with each day's triumphs only more grim.
He's exhausted, perhaps becoming ill.
Hiding this thing that has me in its grip is hell. Yet I cannot bring myself to utter a word. She doesn't care, but then she hasn't heard. What if she gives herself to some other man, never having known? Oh.
Forgive me, sir. Just passing, thought I heard a groan. It's you, Lord Troilus. Why such distress? Now, I'm here. You're not alone. Whatever has brought the valiant Troilus to this? Weeping in a corner. What poison? What malice? Or is it those dastardly Greeks? You can tell me. Please speak.
Pandarus. My friend, what chance, what accident has brought you here to find me languishing alone? It's no one's concern. For the love of God, make haste in leaving, or you'll surely have to watch me dying of this disease. It's true. I shall die, so be off, my friend. There's nothing more to say. Except this. If you think I'm sick with dread, you're wrong, so there's no need to scorn. It's nothing the Greeks have wrought as yet, but something that causes me far more harm has filled my head and has forced me to withdraw. Something I'm not ready to confide, at least not now, so it's best I hide.
Troilus, I melt with pity. Such woe. Alas, whatever can the problem be? If we have now or ever shown one another love and truth, you and me, don't be so cruel as to conceal so great a care from a friend. It is I, Pandarus. I must share your pain.
Well, maybe God will grant it best to tell you all about it. Since you want to know, though to tell will rip my heart from my chest. And anyway, what can you do to overthrow this torment and bring me peace? Yet I allow that if I say nothing, it will seem I have no trust in you. And so tell I must.
Keeping this from me has been unkind, but also foolish, because, to be precise, I may know the lady in question, and think you'll find I can be of help. Now, if you'll take my advice...
Your advice? In love? Pandarus, you may be wise in many things, but love? You haven't a clue. How could you tell a lover what's best to do?
Well, really... Troilus, you ought to listen. I may have a reputation as something of love's fool, but learn from my mistakes. And by comparison, you'll not put a foot wrong. You should be grateful for what you can learn from my foolish counsel. The blind man does not stumble like those who see when he has a fool to show him the way. Look up, I say. At least tell me her name so I can work out how to introduce you. Or is she, at least to me, unknown? Tell me, Troilus, and I guarantee...
All right. She, the source of all my woe, she whose name stands before me like the gates to hell, is Crusade. How utterly mortifying this is.
Oh, ho! Cheer up, my friend. A splendid choice. You can be assured she's of good name, fine-mannered and wise, and we all rejoice in the exquisite nature of her beauty. You wonder how I can speak of her so expertly? This fine young lady is none other than my niece. Well, well, I'd say your luck has just increased. And now, let's consider Crusade. Taking into account her youth and beauty, spiritual love wouldn't suit her, though she's devoted to religious duty. Mm-hmm. And she's been having such difficulties that the best thing she could do is find a good man. If she thinks otherwise, then she's the one who's foolish. Therefore, I am, and always will be, prepared to go to any lengths to help your cause. My aim shall be to please both you and her, and I know I can rely upon you both to act sensibly and keep this to yourselves in strict confidence. For in this town, with everything that's going on, we all three understand that no one else can know, and nothing must be said.
What can I do now to feel less pain? Tell me first what you'll say. Will you tell her that I'm so distressed? And what if she's angry? I fear that most. She might refuse to listen or think it false. And coming from her uncle? From you? Would she really think your talk of love was true?
Calm down. You might as well be afraid that the man was going to fall from the moon. I can't stand to see you in such a state, but there's no need to act any time soon. For goodness sake, Troilus, trust me to know what's best.
Very well. I'll leave it to you. Pandarus, one more word before you go away. I will not be the cause of the slightest impropriety. I'd rather die than have her thinking my suit led in any way to her suffering. I want it understood, as a gentleman, I am devoted to her good.
How I wish you'd heard what you just said. But I mustn't delay. Adieu. Be glad. And come what may, I'll make it my business to ensure that from now on, you suffer nothing but sweetness.
Troilus,
Troilus is on his feet again.
I saw him gallop past on his bay and roar into battle like a lion.
I pity the Greek who meets him.
I wouldn't mind meeting him.
Happy to not welcome such a face.
And so well-mannered. The perfect gentleman. Was he always like that?
Oh, remember his cruel japes. The way he'd mock and boast.
Oh, he seemed more gentle now. Less full of himself.
Oh, he's changed, really changed.
As if he'll never be quite himself again.
Come, come, where is everybody? I must be dressed right away. Important work to do for my friend Prince Troilus. Such a delicate task. And now that spring is here at last, everything that slept through winter will come back to life. Flowers are creeping into bloom. Not that shirt. This is a special day. And what a day! It's true indeed that Phoebus spreads his brightest beams when in the sign of the bull. I could have done with more sleep, though, and without the birds' endless twittering. Today's the day, oh yes. The moon is in a favourable aspect. It is most opportune. Like Janus, god of entrances, I'll pave the way and start my little niece thinking about romance.
And so Amphiaras, the soothsayer, did fall through the ground into the jaws of hell and...
My lady, the Lord Pandarus wishes to see you.
Oh, now?
He is most...
Here you are, madam. Oh, among friends. Perhaps I am interrupting.
I am never too busy to see you, Uncle. Do come in. That you should visit me now is the strangest thing, because for the last 3 nights I had this dream in which you and I meet. Not that I want to suggest that it's some peculiar omen.
Fear not. It's true that I come bearing news, but news that will make you jump for joy.
Has there been a truce? Have the Greeks been driven away?
Is the siege over? Uncle, don't be coy.
No, nothing like that. But I give my word, you'll forget all about the war once you've heard. In private, if we may.
What's this? Pandarus rushes over with news.
What could he have to say that's so important? And what are they on about now?
Shh, I can't quite tell. The state of the city walls. Those wicked Greeks.
And did you hear about yesterday's success? Those who saw it say the Greeks took flight like a swarm of bees rather than face Troilus. Great God, it was wondrous. All because the whisper reached Greek ears, run for your life, Troilus is here. Well, now, where was I? Ah, dear niece, by Minerva, by Jupiter who makes the thunderburst. And speaking as a servant of the blissful Venus, I want to say that you are the woman I most, setting aside those we shall refer to as paramours, the woman I most adore and least want to harm, which, of course, you know, so don't be alarmed.
Uncle, I love and trust you as no other, but please be kind. Stop talking in this odd manner and tell me plainly what's on your mind.
Now then, I only meant to lay the ground. Let me give you a kiss, my dear. Now that I'm reassured, I'll gladly tell you every word. It concerns the dear son of our king. So good, wise, worthy, bright and free, he who strives to do right in all things, the noble Troilus, does so love you that his life would be miserable without you. There it is. What else can I say? Do what you wish. Have him live or die.
Troilus loves me. Live or die?
No need to commit yourself now. I'm not asking you to make any promises, but it wouldn't take much to show the poor man a little kindness. Just so his life isn't entirely meaningless. Well, there you have it. All I have mentioned is all I came to say. I have no hidden intentions.
Commitment, kindness, without me, meaningless.
Yes, and frankly, if you let him die, I'll die too. I'll cut my throat.
Whatever it's about, she should take her uncle's advice. After all, she has no father.
Her looks will fade soon enough, and then there'll be no gallant offers.
She'd be a fool to hold her head so high. She must tread carefully.
She should listen to her uncle.
Please, uncle.
Whoa, woe to the jewel that yields no warmth. Woe to the herb that holds no cure. Woe to the power that shows no pity. Woe to the pride that tramples over. And you, who are beauty's source and yield, if you are truly unmoved, then what right have you to be on this earth?
Why is he saying all this to me? It's terrifying. But he means it. He really means it. I better tread carefully. After all, it might just make things worse if I refuse to listen. Let him think I'm giving in. But besides, there are all kinds of stories about the extremes men will go to for love. What they will suffer. What if he did kill himself in front of me? What would people think? What would they say?
There he goes.
Why is she about to burst into tears while her uncle trots home looking so pleased with himself?
Forget them. What's everyone shouting about outside?
What's going on?
Madam, may we open the gates?
Why?
To see him pass. People are lining the street.
Why? What's going on?
He has to come this way to reach the palace.
Who?
Prince Troilus. May we open the gate and watch him pass by?
Troilus? Yes. Off you go.
Let's go and watch.
Come on.
You go. I'll remain indoors. By the window.
Here he comes. Riding his bay. Leading his men home. Picture of a noble warrior. What magnificent armor!
His horse has been wounded. Yes, it is bleeding. Why is he bareheaded? His helmet is dangling behind.
Oh, what's left of it? It's been hacked to bits. Look at his shield. Completely battered. Stuck with arrows cut by swords. Here he comes!
Troilus and Hector, our great defenders.
The mob cheer him on as if he was sport. At least he has the grace to look embarrassed. He's lowered his eyes. Is he deep in thought or is he blushing? I did not expect shyness. But for such a man to be modest makes perfect sense. What am I thinking of? How strange. I don't quite feel myself. I must think very carefully about this. After all, he's an excellent man. A prince, famous, a wit, they say. Clearly handsome. A gentleman. And he loves me so much that my rejection could end his life. What a terrible thing to do to a man who is so noble, so true. What's the worst that could happen? Talk among the men of Troilus's little dalliance. What would that do to my reputation? Could I insist nothing said? Not a chance. Men do as they please and never cause offence. A man decides who to love, the woman has no say in. And when love cools, he's free to run away. On the other hand, this man could take his pick of the loveliest women in town. Unless your reputation were somehow at risk, why on earth would you turn him down? Only Hector would be a finer catch. And I'm the one Troilus has chosen. I hold his life in my hands. I suppose that's the way of it, and this is my chance. What am I supposed to do? Never have fun? Not allow myself to love when it's what I feel? By God, I'm no nun. My heart is set. How could there be trouble from loving a man so honourable? As long as I behave properly, they'll find no reason to condemn me.
Crusade! Don't stay indoors alone on such a lovely day.
I'm coming.
You, take my horse and fetch Lord Pandarus.
Of course.
And if Lord Pandarus is not at home?
Send two messengers. Send three. Search the town. He must be found and brought to me.
What's the urgency?
Is the prince in trouble?
I bet it's a woman.
It's always a woman.
Now then, friend, shall I weep or sing?
Sing, dance, leap, whatever. I've set the trap so cleverly that only today I drew from her a promise to be your loving friend. A promise she made in absolute faith. So, already less sorrow is coming your way? But I know better than to go on and on. I've said it all before. I've told you everything.
Never mind that. How am I to endure? And when shall I see my sweetheart again? What am I supposed to do with these endless hours of waiting till you have more news to bring? I know what you'll say. I must be patient. But when a man is hanging by his neck in agony, patience is an impossibility.
For the love of Mars, calm down. There is, as you know, a right time for everything. And now it is the dead of night. At least wait till dawn. I'll go straight to her house come morning. It's sleep you need, not to sob or sing. You really must try to do what I say, or charge someone else with your destiny. But since you ask, if I were you, and you are 1,000 times wiser, there is a little something I might do. I'd write, in my own hand, a letter saying exactly how I feel and that my love for her is driving me insane. I'd beg for mercy. That's what you should do. Yes, and do it in a hurry.
A letter? Of course. I'll do it right away.
Some advice, if I may. As you're perfectly well aware, it's wisest not to sound too grand. Don't spin arguments or put on airs. Neither copperplate nor curlicues command a woman's heart. Let an ink blot stand as if your tears had fallen on the page. Use a fine word once, but don't reiterate.
My own lady. Is that how to begin? My heart's life. My one desire. Healer of all pain. My bliss, my everything. Dear lady, I beg you accept this letter. These humble words I so humbly offer. I commend myself unto your grace. Damn, I'm running out of space. Another page. My lady, forgive my poor way with words. You leave me tongue-tied, for I know I am not worthy. This torment can only grow or subside, and that is not for me to decide. So farewell, my love, to whom I promise all.
Read it through, and take care with how you fold and seal.
Uncle, why have you come so early?
I have something to convey, in private.
Let's walk while it's still cool.
Crusade, he who is entirely yours modestly requests that you hear his petition and has sent you this letter in my care. Whatever it says, give yourself time and you'll find the right way to answer him, for I have to impress upon you once again, no man can go on living in such pain.
Do you seriously believe that I could possibly, in all propriety, accept a letter from this man? Don't try to smooth this over. You think I could do what you imply, it's surrender myself. I would expect you, Uncle, to be more concerned with my good name than your friend's desperation.
Fine. Then rip his note to shreds and throw it away. And just to ensure no stain on your reputation, make sure the whole world sees you do it.
Well, just to prove I don't need an audience, I shall wait till I'm alone. You know what? I don't care. Tell him what you want. Why don't you just invent a reply?
Very well.
I'll be your scribe.
That's settled then. Now let's have breakfast. You go in, Uncle. We'll eat shortly, but first I have some business to attend to.
Whatever other business has detained her, one thing she'll do is read that letter. Word for word, line for line.
Dear lady, not worthy of this torment. Well, he makes quite an impression. One more read, and then I must let Uncle eat.
Why has Crusade arrived at table so flushed? And why does her uncle drone on about this and that while she's so distracted?
Shh.
What are they talking about?
The house across the way.
What's so interesting about a house?
Shh, I can't hear.
So, the letter. Any good or just so-so?
Uncle.
What? I'm curious as to whether the boy can write.
Is that really all you want to know?
My dear, you've gone completely red. Which means you will reply. Do say something sweet.
I suppose I should respond in some way, but I haven't a clue what to say.
The words will come. Fear not. Write it now, and I'll take it to him direct.
God help me. I've never before written such a letter. Not to any man. Let me see. Thank you for all your good wishes. I'm sure you understand that I cannot submit to a lover's... what a command. Would you be content with a sister's devotion? I believe that to be the correct solution.
What kind of a man takes to his bed so early?
I do.
Troilus? Well, really, this isn't you. By the power of the moon, get up and see what I've got here. It's a charm that can cure you of this fever. If you act now, you'll be cured forever.
What miracle have you wrought? A letter? From her? Let me see.
Into your darkness I bring light.
Sister. Solution. What words are these? She loves me or... well, not. It makes no sense. Am I supposed to live in hope or dread? Oh, well. I'll decide to take it for the best. She did right, after all, and said some things that really ought to put my heart at rest. It's a matter of reading between the lines. It's all there, what she really means. I should trust you, Pandarus. You know what's what. I mean, after all, she did write.
Such glorious weather.
Yet the prince spends half his time indoors.
What's he writing? Poetry?
When he's not brooding alone, he's with Pandarus.
What does he see in that old fool?
What do they talk about?
Thick as thieves.
I cannot stand this, Pandarus. I must do nothing, say nothing. Why? I've told her I love her. She seems to be not ill-disposed towards me, and yet nothing can happen. No move can be made.
It is, as I have so often said, a matter of time and a matter of timing. But perhaps now, having spent months laying the ground, we might consider the next step.
But what?
A meeting. In company, of course.
But in company, nothing can be said.
I will contrive for the two of you to be alone, just for a moment. In fact, I have a plan. I'll bring my niece to dine at the house of Dei Phoebus tomorrow night. I believe you will be there.
Of course, everyone will be there.
After the meal, declare yourself unwell. Retire. I will bring her to you.
Pretend to be unwell?
Yes, it shouldn't be too difficult. After all, you do look pale and miserable. And it might be useful to pretend to her also.
Let her think I am really ill.
It would make clear to her the strength of your feeling, how vital it is that she gives in.
I see. Yes, a good idea. I'll be at the house of Deiphobus, and I will actually meet her.
Troilus looks miserable.
He's not sick, he's just restless.
This war drags on and on.
And he has fought so many battles.
7 years. And still, we can't see an end.
Or who will win?
Crusade, my dear. Now that the meal is over, shall we take some air?
Some air? Oh, yes, Uncle.
Surely you saw how unwell the man was. We must offer to help.
Hasn't he gone home?
No, he was too weak. He's gone to lie down. This way.
You want me to come to him?
No, of course not. As such, just a kind word, a brief glance. No one will see you, and if they did, they won't know who you are. Keep that cloak pulled tight about you. And remember, this is a matter of life and death. The boy has been wasting away since winter. Everyone is worried about him, even the king. And you are his cure. Just the sight of you, I mean. A brief meeting. Here we are.
I am hot and cold, trembling like a leaf, as if I need to pretend to feel worse than I already do. I know what I'll say. What shall I say? What could possibly show her the depth of my love, of my agony? How about... No, not that. Something else. Oh!
Hello.
It's her. It's you. It's really... Hi.
It is I. No, please. Don't try to get up.
What to say?
She has come to me.
I have come to say two things. What were they? Yes, I wanted to thank you, my lord.
My lord?
To thank you for your friendship, your favour.
Oh, dear lady.
Poor man.
Dear love, have mercy.
I do like him.
Mercy.
He's not at all what he might have been. Look how he blushes.
Dear, my lady.
How his voice trembles. This is certainly no act.
I am entirely yours. Until I die, yours. I mean, what I want to say is, I find it hard. Which is not to say that I don't love you. Which I do. Entirely.
Say something. Show the poor man you have a heart.
Say what? I still don't understand. What am I supposed to say? My Lord Troilus, please. What is it exactly that you want from me?
Dearest lady, sweetheart, that now and then you turn those lovely eyes my way and that you allow me to be at your service, your first resort. In all things, that you will do me the honour of seeking my help for any reason, at any hour.
Well, that's a hard request to grant. Surely any lady would say no. Dear Crusade, what does it take to convince you?
Very well. I agree. You, Prince Troilus, may serve me. Nevertheless, I warn you, King's son that you are, I'll only be bound in love so far as is right and proper.
Thank you, dear lady, dear love. Thank you.
And so, dear heart, be glad. This is an end to your torment. Here, let me prove that I bring sweetness.
Oh, my dear. My love. My only.
There's someone nearby. Lady, gather your cloak. I'll take you safely back to the party.
So soon?
There'll be other times. I'll make sure of it. Before long.
Please, I must leave right away, but I'm glad, sir, to see you looking a little better.
Go through that door and wait while I check the coast is clear.
Very well. But do hurry.
Does she have to go?
Do not forget yourself. Show some restraint. Were it known that I had contrived to involve my niece in such a thing to persuade her to indulge your desires, there would be an uproar. The world and his wife would condemn her outright, and you'd have gained nothing. So, before we go a step further, regardless of what happens, I must insist on complete secrecy. For her sake and mine. Behave as if none of this had happened. And don't be annoyed if I have to say this again. I cannot stress how important it is. Now, I must take the lady back to our host.
I understand, of course, and thank you, my friend. You have my word as a gentleman.
I am sure of that. Goodbye.
What a friend. Of course, I see the importance of behaving correctly. It'll be worth it in the end. Meanwhile, each of us shall go about our days filled with a secret joy. I'll keep myself to myself. What else is there to live for but our next meeting? And our next, and our next.
Lady, I bid you good day.
Prince Troilus, a good day indeed. The weather is so much warmer.
It will soon be summer.
It does my old heart good to bring them together. A few words on a street corner, a brief meeting in a crowded room. Where's the harm? And neither of them has put a foot wrong. Soon it will be time to take things further. Soon the nights will be as hot as day, and it will be hard to sleep, hard to breathe. I must consider how to bring the prince relief. Crusade, welcome. How could I be so stubborn as to insist you come to dine in such weather?
And no moon. So it'll be pitch dark going home, but you wouldn't take no for an answer.
I wouldn't, would I? Such is my nature. You must have realized that to acquiesce to my whims is usually in your best interests. Dear niece, I could not in all conscience permit a lady to go out into such a storm. Rest here for the night. No, I insist. You and your people must make yourselves at home. Don't worry, there's plenty of room. And how would it look if I sent you away in this weather? What would people say?
This deluge means the streets will be impassable. So there's really no choice. And no point in complaining. I might as well accept his offer with good grace. I don't want to upset the old man.
We'll stay, dear uncle. You're very kind. Could you show us now where we might retire?
This room is comfortable and quiet. So, go to bed and have a peaceful night. Your women can sleep in that middle chamber, beyond which lies my own room. So, remember that I personally stand guard over you all, and will come running the instant anyone calls.
How thoughtful you are. Good night.
Good night. Good night. And so I'll lead them in the dance. It's lucky I know the steps so well. Everything's gone according to plan, and now they're asleep, I can reveal who in this closet has had to dwell all evening. The lover in his hiding place. Troilus, why that look on your face? Pull yourself together. Are you man or mouse? Or afraid, perhaps, that she might bite? Put this cloak on over your clothes and follow me towards a heavenly sight. Let me go first to make sure it's all right. See this trap door? How well it's hidden. Follow me through, but stay back till bidden.
What's that? Who's there?
It's all right, dear niece. It's only me. I'm sorry if I gave you a scare.
But how could you have possibly...
got in? That little door over there, you see?
Uncle, I should call someone to chaperone.
Do be sensible, dear. They'd get it all wrong.
Oh. Yes, of course.
The thing is, Troilus appeared at the door just now, completely out of his mind, and all because of some silly rumour that you are, how shall I put it, inclined towards a certain someone. What was his name? Yes, Orestes. No matter who he is. The point is, Troilus is in complete distress.
Oh, I cannot imagine the source of such a lie. But the thought does make my blood run cold. Does Troilus lose faith so easily? I hope whatever tales were told, he would never hold me false. So likely. Is that all it takes? Some silly rumour? A man I've never met? I'll go and see him first thing tomorrow. It'll be easy to explain.
It's no good waiting till tomorrow. You must act now. The man's in pain.
All I can do now is... I know. Give him this ring. I have nothing more precious. He will know from this sapphire that I am faithful.
Look, I've made perfectly clear the state he's in, and no one saw him on his way over. There's nothing wrong with letting him in, if I remain to vouchsafe your honour. He's a gentleman, and a gentleman would never overstep the mark. You owe him this word of explanation, this little tryst.
Well, I suppose I must do as you think best. But if he's coming in here, I'm getting up. Remember, if I place my trust in the two of you, you must not stoop to anything that might lead to gossip. I have to think of my reputation, even as I aim to please.
Very well said. Fortune smiles on such a wise and gentle heart. But stay where you are. Let him approach your bed. He'll keep his distance. Don't be alarmed. You'll cheer each other up. Where's the harm? Of course, we must all attend to scruples, but by Venus, why not end these troubles?
I don't know.
Come, Troilus.
Good lady. Dear lady.
See how he falls on his knees, and see how she blushes suddenly red. Steady, boy. I'll fetch a cushion for your knees. She's overcome. It's to be expected. Look up, lady, and mind how he begs. Those curtains are getting in the way. Let him sit beside you. I won't stay.
Dear love, sweetheart, please don't. I couldn't. When everything's clear, you'll understand. I meant no.
Is he all right? Troilus! Uncle, what's happened?
Quiet, niece, or all will be lost. Let's get him onto the bed. Loosen his shirt.
We must save him. What can I do to save him? How did I get into this mess?
Pull yourself together. After all, you're the one who can pluck the thorn from his heart. Just tell him he is forgiven for his wild accusations.
I am not angry with you, my lord. I swear it. Oh, wake up. Please wake up.
Thank God. I can feel his pulse. Come here and rub his hands. I'll press a cold cloth to his temples. We can bring him round.
Dear love, please wake up. I'll never cause you pain again. Please. I'm not cross. I'll do anything. Huh? Just wake up.
What happened?
Just a little swoon.
Me? Swoon? In front of you? I'll die of shame. I am so sorry. So sorry.
The only shame is that you tremble and apologize. Act like a man, my lord, and take what is your due. Dear heart, you know how I admire your determination to prove your mind. So please believe that I am thine. Your constancy day by day by day has finally persuaded me.
This is really your hand, lying on my arm so gently.
You are forgiven, my lord.
Oh, ho. From what I can surmise by the light of this candle, I'm no longer required. At last the prince has what he so long desired.
Well, I'll just, I'll be over there by the fire, reading an old romance. It'll pass the time.
Of course you know that now I have you in my arms at last, nothing can make me let go. We're all that matters now. Why resist?
Dear heart, I don't intend to fight. I have to admit the very fact I'm here makes my feelings for you quite clear.
Her arms so slender, her back straight and soft, her curves so full, so smooth, so white. I will caress every inch of her. Her throat pale as snow, her breasts round and light. How could it be possible to have so much delight? When I've given you 1,000 kisses, I'll kiss you more in case one kiss misses.
Troilus, it's almost dawn. You must leave.
If I must, at least let us exchange tokens. Here, take my ring.
Take mine too. But hurry, the house is waking.
I'll wear your sapphire as a sign.
No. What if it's seen?
But...
Hush. You can wear this. My ruby heart. It's much less obvious. I'll pin it to your shirt.
Farewell, my darling. All I wish for now is our next meeting.
And I, my love, and it will be soon. Now go.
And how are you today? Didn't that rain go on and on? I don't think anyone got much sleep. My head started aching as soon as I rose.
How am I? Why, you old fox? So much for all your innocent words.
Well, if you're so innocent, why can't you look me in the eye?
Please, Uncle, don't pry.
What's the matter? Something to hide?
No. Yes, I had...
Don't worry about a thing. I have the matter entirely in hand. We'll see what we can do about another encounter. And then another. And another.
In Troilus and Crusade, Troilus was played by Tom Ferguson, Crusade by Maxine Peake, and Pandarus by Malcolm Rayburn. Crusade's friend and servant were played by Catherine Hunt, Calcas by Kevin Doyle, Priam by Terence Mann, and Diomede by Declan Wilson. Other parts were played by the company. Troilus and Crusade by Geoffrey Chaucer was dramatised by Lavinia Greenlaw, with the original music composed by Gary Yershon and performed by Ehsan Emam, Mike Dale and Tim Williams. It was directed in Manchester by Susan Roberts.
So, love blossoms, but what will happen when Crusade is handed over to the Greeks at the gates of Troy to join her traitor father? You can find out in the second and final part of Troilus and Crusade after the weekend. Now, the final play in our celebration of 25 years since BBC Radio's first Young Playwrights Festival is the first work from the writer of The Hour, The Iron Lady and Shame, Abby Morgan. She was in her 20s when she submitted A Sweet Dessert to the First Bite competition. In a pressured restaurant, lonely, troubled chef Emma has an obsession with culinary genius Anton Victoire. She fantasises about escaping the cruelty of her colleagues to be with her lover, sending Anton letters outlining her plans and her feelings.
March 1985, letter 36. After several viewings,
I really must say that your moustache much improves the contours of your face. I can only say I was wrong. Ignore my earlier letter, you must keep it.
Let's just say she's got quite a drive.
Letter 89. I thought about you last night. You were lying beside me, lying very close. I could feel your heart beating, your arm against mine. I won't tell Donald, not yet. Preparation is all, and there's so much to plan.
That she's always waiting for a reply.
When will you come?
But the sniping from her colleagues causes Emma's fantasies to take a dark turn. The BBC Radio Young Writers 25 Years On series concludes with Abby Morgan's A Sweet Dessert, tonight at 9:15, here on BBC Radio 4 Extra.
I know it is the determination of the National Theatre Company to fill this building with that special brand of magic that only the theatre can provide.
Peer behind the curtains of a remarkable institution.
People seem to be convinced that culture is dull.
We wanted desperately to act and to act well.
And that a good play will inevitably be slightly boring.
In that room, we all took responsibility for this being a brilliant event, and it was the best show that we ever did.
The National Theatre at 50. Made for BBC Radio 4 Extra.
For those who will follow, I wish joy eternal.
On Saturday morning at 9 and again in the evening at 7.
Thank you very much. The house is now open.
Okay, it's over to Mel for King's Cannonballs in a Mob of Toddlers next. And then at 5, we'll set off for Cumbria to catch up with the wordsmiths at Gorsemere. See you then.
I bid you fare thee welcome, good 4 o'clockers, to the field of battle and bravery, of swords and cannonballs, and a lot of people shouting their heads off. I'm Mel Gedroych. Today we're going to meet Samantha, who's a female knight in armour.
I think of it like a skeleton on outside of the body. It's hinged in all the right places, articulated so that you can move just as well with it on as you probably could without it on.
And this woman is part of a husband and wife duo who make a living as human cannonballs. Yes, they do.
We got married when Chachi was 18, and so he built a cannon on the first year of our marriage.
So you married a man who built a cannon for you?
Exactly.
If that's not enough excitement for you, it's the final battle between Arthur King and the baddies in our story today. Come on, Arthur!
Cursing like a barmaid, Guthrie stood back up and lunged his sword at Arthur, who deflected the blow by sideswiping it away with Excalibur, and both swords slid against each other, sparking until the hilt met and the two warriors were faced to face.
Yes, we're cantering towards the weekend, armour clanking, spurs jangling, but whoa there, boy! It's not all battles and cannonballs in today's show. We're going for a leisurely ramble with Claire Balding and a bunch of toddlers in pushchairs.
Okay, Dylan.
Okay, not very relaxing then, but never mind, there's always this. Hee-hee! The weekend really begins with my magical mystery tour. Today we're going to see something which, in a sort of a way, will take us to other worlds.
What I'm picturing is this great big box with these two huge eyes peering out of it.
Now, I know that's not really a clue, but I bet you're curious, aren't you? Okay, here's a proper hint as to where we're going to see this thing. It's in an American state whose capital city is named after a bird. Stand by for more clues. Hello, chums. You're listening to the 4 o'clock show here on BBC Radio 4 Extra. Yeah, with me, Mel Gedroych. Now, we've been hearing a lot about swords this week, from St. Gilgano in Tuscany, who gave up being a knight and stuck his sword in a rock, to Arthur King, the hero of our story, who dug up a sword in Albion Woods. We also learned how difficult it is to get just the right amount of carbon in the steel for making swords. Carbon's a very useful element, because it can help us work out the age of archaeological objects. Quentin Cooper has been investigating carbon dating on Material World with the help of scientists Dr. Tom Higham and Chris Tierney. First things first, how did we used to estimate the age of fossils and relics?
The classic way was taking ancient manuscripts,
reading them, trying to link across the actual dates of when events took place. A classic example of that was Bishop Usher of Armagh in Northern Ireland, and he famously wanted to try and work out the age of the earth by adding up the lifespans of everyone who'd ever lived in the Book of Genesis, and came up with a year for 4004 BC, which we now know is it's actually about 4.6 billion years. So that was what that was.
It was only a bit off.
It was a few orders of magnitude. But that was a classic. That was a classic. One of the classic ways of doing it.
And this is the sort of reason why, as well as getting things like that, we end up with this curious anomalies that I like the date of the birth of Jesus Christ, as far as we can tell, was 4 BC, which is, of course, 4 years before Christ.
That's right, yes. Paul Dennis Little, he made a bit of a mistake when he was working on the calendar. And he got confused with Octavian, that took the name of Augustus, and was 4 years out. And it was actually Bishop Usher was one of the early people who realised that. That's why he shifted the age from 4000 BC back to 4004
BC. That's where the 4004 came
that's
from.
That's where you get the extra 4 years, you see.
Tom Heim, I guess one thing we can date reasonably accurately is when radiocarbon dating first appeared.
We certainly can, and we date that at December 1949, when the first radiocarbon dates were published in the journal Science by Libyan colleagues. And so this is a date we know very, very well, yes.
So what are the strengths and what are the limitations of radiocarbon dating?
The strengths of radiocarbon is a number.